presence of the Lord is a place of joy.
Amen.
There is no other place for a person to build themselves and have joy and have confidence like the presence of the Lord. And how you know that if you are in the presence of the Lord, it's like David just began to dance. When God has blessed you, you know the greatest blessing God has done is that he has taken us from the kingdom of darkness and moved us to the kingdom of light. What it means now is that we can see. You see, people know that you can see and encounter difficulties, but because you can see, you know how you're going to navigate it. You can see your way out. So the best thing that can happen to a person is that they can see. So no matter what you throw their way, they will do what? They will see their way out. They will see their way out. Each and every one of you will see your way out.
Amen.
I'm telling you. That's what he has done for us. I wanted to talk today something that I know it's very important in our lives. I want to talk about being committed. Everybody say being committed. It's a powerful word. It is like my wife said that word is a catalyst. That when somebody grabs it and understands, they can do all things. So the dictionary defines commitment as something that's wholehearted. Wholehearted. So nothing is left behind, nothing is reserved. It's wholehearted. And it is wholeheartedly dedicated to a cause. It is not wholehearted to everything. As a matter of fact, it's impossible to be wholehearted to many things. Praise the Lord. So if anything is going to be wholeheartedly, it must be what? It must be dedicated to a cause. It's to be loyal. To be committed is to be loyal. To be steady. To be consistent. You see, why committed, being committed is so important is that there is no one that is as committed to us as God. It's incredible how committed God is to you and to me. Isaiah chapter 49, 15 and 16. He says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on that son of her womb? I know women will know this, but I swear women who have had children. Even from growing up young, whenever I went over to my grandparents, it's like, my parents loves us. Whenever we get to our grandparents' house, it's almost like we can get away with everything. When we are just coming up the stairs, if you just look at their eyes, they're so happy, like you can't contain them. He says, look, there is a compassion from a woman that produces a child. I don't know us men if we can ever understand it sometimes, but there's something about it. He says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? He says, surely they may forget. There's an anomaly sometimes that I don't know what happens. One situation or another, we don't know what happened. And sometimes it seems like a mother who nursed a child all of a sudden walks away from him, all of a sudden can't pay attention to that child. He says, that might happen. He says, yet I, God, will what? I will never forget you. God is committed to us. God, I want that to sink. God is so committed to us. That's why this analogy that the Bible is using, says, look, it says a woman who nursed a child, it says it's difficult. It says it's so hard for him to. That child can be doing them. That is why when that child is wallowing, it's the mother that comes. This thing they're talking about Ebola, do you know they say that a lot of women are there, they see their children. They say this thing is killing you. This thing is going to kill anybody who touches it. They go and carry their child. They say, I want to die with them. The love of a mother. But it says, surely they may forget. See, even as deep as this, he says, sometimes we forget. He said, but let me tell you, beyond that, I will never forget you. Verse 16. He says, see, I have done what? I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. So he says, Whenever I open my hand, whenever I do anything, what I see is you. All I see is what? I see you. I want you to know how much God is committed to us. Because sometimes the cares, the troubles of this world, they shake us sometimes and we begin to ask, where is God? When that thought and that question comes, I want you to remember, and this is God speaking. And not only that God is committed to you and I, he identifies himself with us. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. He said, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you, touches what? The apple of my eye." Do you know your sight is one of the most important things you have? That's why no matter how quick people's hands are, by the time they come, your eyes blink. It's so protected. God is identifying with you that you are so important that his eyes is equating you with his heart for his eyes. So God is committed to us. God identifies with us. Through our troubles, God is identifying with us. Through everything. So when he says that when if this is sickness, if it is in your body, God is saying, look, do you think that you're the only one that this thing is bothering? He says, this thing, it is on my body. That is why it cannot stay, because I'm God, I have power. That is why there's healing in our body. Because God is in that body we saw identifying with us. So sickness cannot operate with him. So when he comes, he says, this is my body. This can be here. He identifies with you. That is why David knew that someone. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I do what? I feel. He says he's identifying with me. Listen. And David knew it so much. He said it was a shadow that is not a real. Hebrews chapter 10, 16 to 17. God is committed to us. He says, this is the agreement that I will set up and conclude with them. I will set up and I will do what? He knows your frailty. You know the covenant of the Old Testament, God made it with an mediator, which is Moses, with men. But the new covenant, he didn't make it with them. He says, they can't hold it. They can't. I love them so much. They are weak. They can't do it. He said, I'll make that covenant. I will conclude it. It's my decision. It's my work. I do it. Let them receive it. That's how committed God is. He said that I will set up and conclude with them after those days, says the Lord. I will imprint I. Everything is I. Not we. Not if they do this. Not if. It keeps saying what I will do. What I will do. What I will do. Because I'm committed to them. I will imprint my laws upon their hearts. And I will inscribe them on their minds. And on their innermost thoughts and understanding, verse 17. He then goes on to say, and their sins and their law breaking, I will do what? That is commitment. That is commitment. For somebody to meet you at your weakest point, where he knows that that is where you can't do anything, he comes and meets you over there. That is being committed to you. That is commitment. Commitment is not the things that I know I can do. I can have you come and you're hanging out with me. That's not committed. That's why people can be hanging out with you and then you have any issue. They come 2 days. The third day, they are come. But commitment is when somebody comes and they want to partner with you. They partner in the place that they are sure you will fail. And they say, I'm there with you. Praise the Lord. So God has committed himself. There's nothing else. I mean, there's nothing else. He's committed himself. You have to believe him and trust that he's committed and walk with him and stand and know he's with you. You know he got your back. He's committed. So God, in his commitment, when he wanted to bless this world, he brought blessing to the whole world through a man. He said, I'm going somewhere. You need to understand that how important commitment, how committed God is. No man has seen God. He does not come down from heaven to show this commitment. His word has done it and his works show it. But when he wanted to prove this commitment, when he wanted to bless human beings, he did it through a man. He didn't come down from heaven and say, I bless you people. No. He blessed the world through what? One man. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Talking to Abraham, he said, I will do what? I will make you into what? A great nation. I will bless you and make you what? Famous. And you will be a what? A blessing to others. Verse 3. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be what? Will be blessed through you. I do wonder, why didn't God just go and say, ooh, blessing, ooh, blessing. So committed. But his blessing to the whole world, he passed it through a human being. Now imagine if that man was not committed. Praise the Lord. So we are a blessing when we are committed to a cause. Because the Spirit of God lives in each, and he says, if you are joined with Christ, you become one spirit with him. The power of God is working in you. It's working in you. It's working in you. So you have been blessed to be a blessing. God's commitment, he wants to show it this world through you. God's commitment is too high. He wants to show it through me. Imagine what it would be like. We all show up over here and we are committed to one another. Nobody will lack. Nobody will go home be depressed. Nobody will sit in his house going through issues that nobody know about. Because God is committed to that person. But he has poured his blessing, but it's through a man. So when we become committed to a cause, we become better parents. We become better Christians. We become good friends, better friends. It is in our commitment. It's when we are committed, we become better employees. If we become committed, we become better church members. So the Bible told us about Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 51 to 52. As a man, see what commitment he had to do. Because he understood that God was already committed. That God was committed. And when God has called you, no matter what, if you look at God called Abraham and where he was and his situation and everything, but he said, you see, your situation does not decide what God is going to do. It's God that decides it. So if you're looking at yourself to compare what God is going to do through you, what he's doing with you, you will miss it. He said, then Jesus returned to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them and was what? And was obedient to them. You know, another word for commitment is obedient. Faithful, obedient, loyal, all of that is what? Committed. He said now he followed them back and he was committed to his parents. Because as a child, what he has been called to be what? To be committed to his parents. I saw a young man the other day. He says that what he's waiting for is for God to show him what to do. I said, you live with your parents? He said, yes. I said, you go to college? He said, yes. I said, how are you helping your parents? I said, when is the last time in this house that you cut the grass? I said, when is the last time in this house that you came back and say, hey, mom, are you back? Can I go do this? I said, even making your parents happy. When is the last time they were going to church and you just walked? Do you know that if your children join you to do what you're doing, it brings you joy? I said, when is the last time you brought joy to your parents? I said, you're waiting for God to show you what. So what is he going to show you? You are not committed to the one he has given you. He has made you a blessing to these parents. You can't bless them. And you're waiting for God. And you're waiting for him to show you he's going to go into ministry. I say, they're going to fool you. If you go, you're going to go to Y1. It's not going to be real ministry. Verse 52. He said, because of that, he grew in what? In wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with what? Commitment begins to bring favor your way. You see, there's this tendency for us to be looking at us, looking at us. What have I done? We don't know that it is your commitment to the outward that returns much. You know, even physics decides that. You know, Newton has a lot of laws. There's the first one, there's the second one, and then there's the third one. And the third one was saying something. There are a lot of science people here, so I better watch what I'm saying. But you see, but what happened is that law clearly says that, it says if you send a force, that there's an equal force that returns from the opposite. But I'll show you that with God, it is not just an equal force that returns. When you, so that's why I say one chases 1,000, but two chases what? When you put out the blessing of God, 10 times return to you. Amen. Even in physics nature. So, but the people, we don't understand. So he says that because it was commitment, favor from God, he began to grow in wisdom. All he was committed. Wisdom was coming. Stature was coming. Favor with God was coming. Favor with man was coming. But all he did was commit to his parents. You see, God is so committed that when people produce children, they want to be, his idea, the DNA is that you be like your parents. The power of God that is working today is because of how committed he is to the things that he has said, that no matter what happened, that whatever he has said, he does it. That's why he's God. That's why he's so powerful. As his children, that's a secret and a mystery that is revealed to you, that if you commit yourself, you would see the same power. You see in your own life, you see things just changing. But when there's no commitment, nothing. What we want to do is pray. Pray. As great as prayer is, I was telling somebody earlier that I said, you know, if I go now on the ground and tilt it so very well, it's so nice, and have no seed in it, and every morning, every day I come and I pour water on it 17 times a day. Nothing will happen. Let me repeat myself. If I go and prepare soil, my backyard anyway, and I make the soil so comfortable, put manure, everything in it, but what I didn't put in it is seed. Great manure, then they say water them. And then every day I water it 17 times. And I just go watch it. I make sure it has enough shade. I make sure it has enough sun. I make sure it has everything. But there is no seed in there. Will anything come out? So we don't put out anything. Don't put out anything. We say we are trusting God. It defies the law of nature. So even with Abraham, the man that God now, through blessing him, brought blessing to me and you. Look at what it says. Genesis chapter 22, verse 15 to 18. It says, then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed, that word again. Because you have committed me, you obeyed me, you are committed to me, and have not withheld even your son. Keep going. Verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, you are what? Your only son. I swear by my own name that, verse 17, I will certainly do what? Bless you. I will do what? I will multiply your descendants. You see now, before he just told that I will bless you, and you through you the world will what? Bless. But now he said, because you are committed to me, I will certainly, he returned and said, that thing that I said, I will do it. And beyond that, and beyond just that thing I said that through you I will bless the world, I will now multiply your own. You're not only going to be a blessing for the world, but your own. I will multiply what? Your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky. And the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will do what? Will conquer the cities of the enemies. Listen, it's been years. Do you know that civilizations that we're hearing from when Christ was around, from thousands and thousands of years, We don't know anything about them, but the Israelites are still there. And Israel is still a powerful nation till today. A small, tiny nation sitting in the middle of enemies, but they have nuclear weapons, they have so much money. In America, if they cough, the Americans move. The most powerful nation in this world, they will not do anything contrary to what the Israelis want. All those empires don't even know where they exist anymore. When God is speaking, that's why it's important. He says, look, he says, your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. Verse 18. And again, he repeats it. And through your descendants, all the nation of what? Of the earth will be what? Will be blessed. All because you have what? You have committed yourself to me. You have committed yourself to me. You have committed yourself to me. So commitment needs loyalty. Commitment does not need hit and run. Many hit and runs never get what God proposed. God is committed, but they can't receive it. Their heart is dead. Their heart is dead. If they try anything, it's difficult. They jump out. Like we are here now in this new church. I tell them, as I came in a church that was full of people, and I would dance, and I would dance, and I would dance. But today I'm dancing. Look at this new choir team. As they begin to speak the name of Jesus, I went to tears. And the healings that happened here today is incredible. I want to tell you people. You see, the people who walk by sight, what God did here in the name of Jesus Christ in the lives and the health of people today was incredible. I'm telling you. But do you know that people who are not committed would assure and say, I want to go to a place where they'll show me where I park my car, they'll give my kids burger. They will. But they forget that little that God has given them, they commit, that it is in that place of planting, it is that place of commitment that you get everything, that you become a blessing, a multiple blessing to the world. They don't see it. So it requires loyalty. Not undivided loyalty. Because you put your hand on the plow, you don't look back. You'll be pushing. Because you know God is committed to you, and it is you now. He's not going to come down. And it is you through you that is blessing this world. And as that little that you have is being put out to bless around you, multiple is coming to you. Ask these members of my mother church. They all know me, and I lie not. I never came to that church to be pastor. I came to that church, asked them, I don't know anything about church. I live in Morristown, that church is in Newark. I get there before everybody. I served that church. They are here because if I'm saying it, I served that church. I served that church so much that everybody in that church, if you call my name, they tell you, they describe service. Am I saying the truth? It didn't matter to me. I just didn't serve them with mouth. I serve them with my money. I serve them with my strength. I serve them with my children. If anything gets up before you talk it, I take everything I have and I pour in it. Am I telling you, God exploded in my life continually till today. Everything that I invested, the monies that I invested, I got millions back. The times that I invested, I have so much time. Everything that I gave to God that He committed the little in my hand, that I was wholeheartedly serving that place, it exploded. I went there with three children. They say I can't have any more babies. I had two. Yes, I'm telling you. They said I can't have any more babies. They say we don't know. We go all the way to the best doctors in Virginia because my wife is a doctor. And they said, look, we don't know. You guys look okay, but it's not happening. My son is older than this one by 5 years. But I said I want to have more babies. I go there. So I had to stop. If I didn't stop, I can have 10 children. I'm telling you, committed to God, what happens? They are here. I could have been making excuses. And I showed up in that church. It was at this state. This is where I was. I told you, I served my pastor so much. I'm leaving. He sends his two children to follow me.
Listen, if a man gives you his children, he's confident there's something in you. Because no man wants his children to be foolish. If a man gives you his sons, he's confident that there's something in you, that whatever you give them, he'll be satisfied with it. Committed.
Committed. Praise the Lord!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Committed. Committed. So committed is a focused impact. It's an impact that is focused. It's not an impact that you'll be doing like this. If you want to go through this chair with a pin, if you keep going over here, you will stay forever. But if you hold your pin and you put it here, and you're pressing, and you're pressing, and you're pressing, poof, you go through. It's not the commitment you kick on this wall. Am I being harsh? I'm telling you, this is how, because God is committed to you, my brother. There is no reason why a Christian, yes, this world is full of troubles. The Bible, Christ even told us, he said, look, in this world there will be troubles, there will be trials, there will be distractions. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world for you. So when we see the trouble, the world is panicking. We don't panic because we know he's committed to us. Then why don't we be like our dad? Be like our dad. So it becomes difficult. And you know what God has said. You said, no, this is not going to happen here. The unbelieving believers are telling you, give up. They're telling you stories. That's when you take them and you begin to tell them, do you know how much God is committed to me? Do you know that some people, when the devil is motivating some people, if they come and you tell them back the truth of the word of God, they leave you and run away. All of a sudden, they're not your friends anymore. I have learned to be alone. No? It doesn't really bother me. My senior pastor called me the other day. He said, since you left, you have not gone. I said, I've gone. No, I've learned to be alone. Listen, if I trust God, that's the way I was brought up. If God, I say, this is God says what I should do. This is where he puts me. Even if I get there, I'm alone. I'm doing what God said. And he has never failed. So I'm encouraging you today. He's committed to you. I don't care what he has put in you. How you are going to multiply it, commit with it. Commit with it. Commit to it. Commit to it. If it is here, if it is your children, whatever it is, just commit to it. Every morning, bless the name of the Lord. Everyone bless them. It can be hard. If you need to cry, you cry. I cry. But if I cry, I tell people, I'm not crying because it's too hard. I say, I'm just crying because I just say, man, you know. Sometimes an emotion of like, God, man, what would I have done if I didn't know you were here? What would I have done? I mean, how would I have been? It says in the Bible, it says that they are in the world without God and without hope. How would I have been dealing with this thing without hope? That's why I cry sometimes. So we don't treat the things of God with contempt. See, the thing is that if you begin to think the thing of God, anything that God has given you, if he has planted you here, if you begin to hold it lightly, what happens is that the enemy, where he always deals with people, if you are not committed, you become a mincemeat in the hand of the enemy. Because he will accuse you with every little thing. Because even the most basic things, you are not committed to it. So at every time, it is you that he comes to accuse. See, the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. So now, what that does, if he accuses you so much, you can't even take what God is giving you. Your head now begins to say that God is not giving it to you. But you know, the Bible says, it says that God gives it without finding fault. But the issue is that, can you take it? It becomes difficult for us to take it because then every little thing, our conscience will say, well, I don't meet this. So God is saying, no, I love you. But you have been saying, yeah, I know you love me, but. So being committed, cuts off most of those, you don't make room for that. He said, we should not give a foothold to the devil. When we are not committed, what we are doing is giving the devil a foothold. People think that giving a foothold is only I'm smoking. I've said this in this church many times. And I keep telling them, I say, look,
My teaching is don't smoke, don't drink. Doctors can tell you that if you smoke, it brings what? Cancer. That person dies. That God, and it doesn't change God. Do you know that people, somebody smoke and die of lung cancer, that God will accept them in heaven? If God won't kick him out from heaven, says that he died of lung cancer. They won't kick him out. If he trusted God, he believed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ says, I'm going to go make a place. But you see, but that lifestyle, those things, begins to chip on your conscience and your faith. And in your life here, you can't reign. It deprives you of the power of God, and it deprives you of life. It's not really heaven that is depriving you. Because me and you didn't build heaven. We don't know. He said, I'm going to go prepare it. When I finish, I'll do what? I'll come and I'll take you. But if those things that he has told us, say, commit yourself, come out of this, don't do this. All he's saying that those things, they hinder us from receiving from God. We become the target of the enemy. Now we give him a foothold. He said, make no room for him. When we do that, we make room for him to come in and begin to play with our conscience. Play with our conscience. And when we begin to play with our conscience, God is saying, come on, come, come. Sickness, I can heal you. You say, no, I don't qualify. God said, no, you all qualify. I died already. I paid for it. Your conscience said, you don't qualify. That's the reason. And that's why we must be people who are committed and make sure that these things are not in our life so that we can be bold. It's not because God is denying you anything. So commitment becomes very important. So the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. It says, Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I have it there? No? Please put it for me. NLT, give me NLT. He said, I know all the things you do. They're not new to me. I know all the things you do. That you are neither hot nor what? Nor cold. I wish that you are what? Hot. We're able to get it? I want us all to see. It's the Bible. I'm not making these things up. I'm making them up. Yes. 15. Yes. I know what? All the things you do. That you are what? Neither hot nor cold. This is God talking to people that he has blessed. This is in Revelation. People that he has blessed. People that in the church. He was speaking to a church. A church that he's committed to. A church that he has given his spirit. Do you know that the church is the body of Christ? He was talking to people that he has given his body to, that are his body, he's their head. These are the people that God was doing. He said, look, the problem here is that I know the things that you do. He said that you are neither hot nor what? Nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. Let me know what I'm dealing with. Let me know where to meet you. Verse 16. But since you are what? Like a lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will do what? See, God does not appreciate wishy-washy. People can trust God. That's why God says that everything that he has, you receive by believing in him. So people who are wishy-washy can't believe God. And he said, when you don't believe God, he said, you call God a liar. It offends God that you're calling him a liar. Because he's a righteous God. So he said, I wish that you had just said, the things I said is not true. Then I understand you're not with me. But you're saying they're true. You're saying they're not true. You're saying they're true. You're doing something else. You're saying they're true. You're doing something else. You're saying that. He says, look, what I'll do is find out to spell it out. So, and God proved this. He proved this, that as committed as he is to us, there were people in the Bible that God was committed to, like the children of Israel, so committed to them. Just as a matter, it was their father he was speaking to. So committed is through them that everybody will be blessed. So committed to them. He gave them a land to go and take. He said, go take it. He said, I have done what? Given it to you. Go and take it. God has given you your healing. Now let me tell you something. When I speak about God has given you your healing, I'm not saying that if you take medicine that you're doing anything wrong. I want you to understand that. But what I'm telling you is that in everything is life, you know, there's always a gradual process. And it says that faith comes from hearing. And he says that that light continues until daylight shines out. So, but God loves us and so committed to us that wherever we are, if we trust him that in that state he's doing what he's doing, he will do it. So don't leave this place saying that if you drink medicine that don't believe in healing. That's not true. But you have to believe that beyond that, because you know, there are doctors all over, it's God that gave them this sense. It's God that gave you that. It's God. But you have to believe that as there is a good, there is a better, there is what? There is a best. There is a best. So what you want to aim for at all times is the best. So if you are good, don't kill yourself. But don't sit and good and relax. Knowing that there is a best, it is not good. Don't do that. Because the devil will want to fool you. Other people will tell you, well, that even when you are the good, you should be doing what? Aim for the best, because you have the best. You can reach it. He has given it. You have it. You have it. And as you trust him and you believe him, and he speaks those words, and it comes into your heart, you take the step. Praise the Lord. You see this, my knee? 12 years ago, my wife said, doctor, I'm not lying. They took me, the thing was so bad. So after they looked at it, they said that they're going to put titanium for it. It's bad. And my mother, since I was born, I never knew my mother walking okay. Some of her, my mother doesn't walk much. It doesn't walk much anymore. So from my mother's 30s or early 40s, her knees were gone. Bad, osteo, terrible arthritis. So that same age, the thing hit. And then it was just a couple of months before I gave my life to Christ. So I have set up to go to the doctors to do that thing that they had said. Because it was so bad. The pain is so much. And I like to exercise. I can't run. I can't do it. So I've set this appointment. We have done so. We're going to go. They did all the exercise. Then before then, Jesus Christ found me. I'm telling you, the first week, the pastor began. I got there. And I didn't go to church. Again, I'll tell my conversion. One day, it's a whole sermon. You will know it. Yes. It's an amazing thing. I'm telling you what happened. And even like that, he began to talk that God healed. And then I looked at my knee. And boom, he says that it is healed. I tell him, I said, I'm not going back to the doctor. So this knee is what? It's been 12 years. The mornings I wake up and that pain, I've never been to the doctor again. I run, I walk out, I do everything. Some mornings I wake up, it is hurting. I tell this knee, I say, God creates things. Shut the heck up, you are walking. I move and I run. And that knee, look at you today. Nobody has put anything there. Now, they could have put titanium, right? But something else would be my body. That wouldn't have been the best. There's nothing the best like this my knee. But now, the person who put titanium has not done anything wrong. But what I'm telling you is that when it came, I said it was true. I agreed with it. I believe it. And then I committed myself. So with the word of God, the word of healing, every time the word of healing, I am sitting in the word of God, ask them, if you say the word of God is going on, I'm there. Committed. Focused. And once I said the word of God was all over the place, so I found where God has planted me. I was doing a laser focus. I was doing what? Because what happens sometimes, people commit themselves all over the place. That's not commitment. They're over here and say, it is the same word of God. I said, no, I'm not denying that it's not the same word of God. But God is looking for committed there. That it is true commitment. He says, now you learn a lot of things when you give yourself to one thing. It rolls over to a lot of other things in your life. You start giving yourself to one thing. So as I learned commitment there, he gave me also to give myself only to my wife. My preacher never taught me any day, don't sleep around. Never taught me that. Never told me don't drink. I got up one morning. Before, I used to travel. I'll go to Paris, ask him. I have all kinds of expensive drinks in my basement. I woke up one morning. I just came downstairs. Drinks over $4,000-something. I just started breaking them. He said, what are you doing? I said, drinks cannot be in this house anymore. Nobody said don't drink. When you begin to learn commitment to God, you begin to see the places where not being committed is not working. You know, it's not coming there. Don't do this. That does not change. Do you think that people who are doing what they are doing, they don't know it's not bad, it's wrong? They know. So the gospel is not telling people what to do. The gospel is telling people what God has done already, to commit themselves to it. There are some of you here that God has touched tremendously. I've been seeing your life. I don't want to call anybody's name. Some brother began to tell me, he said, if it was before, I know what to do. I said, why? And he said, not this kind of thing you're preaching. I can't. He said, I can. You see, commitment is beginning to come. As commitment is coming in, other things are turning around. If you now begin to see the person's life, you see that a lot of things are changing them. A lot of things begin to change them because they committed themselves. So these people, and I'll just tell this story briefly because my time is almost finished. We had some presentation that took some of my time. So I've been up for like 35 minutes. So I will stop. I will stop because it's not... I sent a message last Wednesday and I said it doesn't take God a multitude of soldiers or a few soldiers to say. You see, you can come in the presence of God. One word. You see, all you need is one. It's not if I preach 70 hours that's the issue. I've said enough. So these people... They didn't believe that God gave him a land. He says, go and check out the land I've given you and do what? And take it. God is speaking to a lot of you today. He says, if it is financial, he says, I've resolved it. If it is a business that I've been scaring you, say, no, it is yours. Go. Go take it. And you know, there's nothing that is good that you'll be sleeping in your house and take. God does not give things like that. If it is like that now, then everybody, it will make... First of all, nobody will value what God gives. So he told them, go take the land, I've given it to you. I've given you a healing, take it. I've given you that confidence. Take it. I am with you, I'm telling you, nothing will happen with you. Agree with it. So he said, go look at the land so you can take it. They go look at the land and they came back. Another group said, the land is great. But we cannot take it. Then he said, God will not give it to us. Because God has done what? He said, we cannot do what? Take it. Listen, I conclude. And when you say to God, you cannot take it, God, you see, God will never force anything. He says that two people cannot walk together unless they agree. If God gives you something and you say, I cannot take it, God will agree with you. God is so gentle. Such a power, but so gentle, amazing. If I had God's kind of power, I'd be kicking people around. There's no some nonsense. I say, I'll just grab the person and say, man, what's wrong with you? Come on, sit down. But God doesn't do that. Isn't that amazing? Man, when we get to heaven and just meet with God, it'll be amazing what we'll find out. Such power, but such control. So when they said, we can't take it, put up for me numbers. I want to read the word of God. Let me not tell it all in story. Numbers 13. Actually, you know what? Just forget it. Put Numbers 14, 6 to 10. My time is finished. Let me read this and we'll go. Numbers 14, 6 to 10. He said, these people say we can't take it, but this other group said, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. Verse 7. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is what? It's an exceedingly good land. Verse 8. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with what? With milk and honey. Verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed them from them. And the Lord is what? Is with us. Do not fear them. Verse 10. And all the congregation said to stone what? Stone them with stones. That's why I said, and you see what happens. Sometimes, this is supposed to be, there are times you'll be speaking what God has said. And even your best friend will be the one that will speak evil to your life. You should be strong enough that if God has shown you something, walk. You don't need, I'm telling you, if you keep waiting for crowd, you're going to miss God. If you find the truth, follow it. He said that now, that same people that they went with, They decide not to want to stone them. He said, but the glory of the Lord did what? You see, even when they begin to say those things, God will come to cover you. God protects his own. Now look at verse 23 and 24. As they have made that decision, look at what God says. He said, they certainly shall not see that land of which I swore. I swore that it's theirs. I swore your healing. I swore all these things. But if you have said that God cannot do it, I agree. And you will not get it. So now it becomes a futile thing to be pouring water with no seed. Do you see where I was going? It becomes now a futile thing to be shouting all night. You don't agree what God is saying. It doesn't matter, you go to 17 men of God. Let me tell you, power belongs to God. It does not belong to any man. It belongs to who? Yes. There's no man that you go to. He does this. It is when God moves, like he has moved over here, he begins to heal. He does it. And you give glory to him. Many of you and many of the troops and the troops and the group of people that are going to fill this church, because this church is a huge church. And God has decided that in this church, in this town, that he's going to do tremendous restoration. And the restoration is so big that, you see, the confusion about it. I was telling somebody, I said, you know, you own a car that does 300 miles per hour. And you're driving on a highway with cars that are doing 40. And you're doing 80. You're excited. You need restoration. You have 220 horsepower dormant doing nothing. So the restoration, when I talk about this restoration, is going to restore even people high in authority, people high in business, it's going to bring them to their fullest. Amen. That's what God has decided to do. It's going to bring them to what? To their full capacity, to their best. All 300 horsepower will be kicking. And all of a sudden, they will look and say, why was I happy running at 80? He said, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers. Nor shall any of those who rejected me do what? See it. But look at 24. He said, but my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit in him and followed me what? Fully. He was committed. He was committed. He was focused. Even when they wanted to stone him, he said, no, God has given a last ticket. He was wholehearted. He stood the ground when he showed up. Do you know, I was reading a book, and that book began to ask me this serious question. I stopped and I was thinking. He says, look at your own commitment. If everybody in this church was committed like you, how would it look like? If everybody in your family was committed to you, raising your children, in loving, in helping others, if this world was full of you, what would he look at? Say what? He says, look. He says, God told me, he said, I don't ask you this question to shame you. He said, I'm asking you this question because I've put so much in you. God has blessed you. I'm telling you. I don't care where you are now. I don't care what you're experiencing. God has blessed you. You have. Put it out and see what starts pushing back. Let us stand.